Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, if you're looking to do a deck, a fence, anything that has to do with wood, you got to go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Go to rmfp.com. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lions, and Estes Park.
NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal did an NFL draft power rankings of the league's general managers dating back to 2015, and he was only talking about the draft. His list only goes 23 GMs deep, and he doesn't include new GMs like George Payton. And he writes, "It's a self-selecting group because the names that would be at the bottom of this list ultimately lost their jobs." So he only went 23 deep, 24 through 32. He didn't even have a list of those guys. And one of those guys who was not on the list, John Elway. Surprised?
No, because he's not the GM anymore. The way he defined it is saying, okay, he's going to rank the GMs that have been on the job for a while, and then those who have just taken the jobs in the past year, he wasn't going to rank them because of basically a lack of data.
Okay.
And so that's why George Payton is ranked. The question is, where would John Elway rank, in your opinion, if he were on this list?
Very low. I'm not going to count last year's draft because they were rookies. I'm going to give everybody a break. Unless you happen to have a standout, like Rick Spielman had Jefferson.
Yeah.
Unless you have a standout.
You already know Justin Jefferson is a stud, and barring injury will remain a stud.
So I am not going to count Jerry Jeudy, Hamler, any of those guys because they only played one season, shortened training camp and all that stuff, COVID. I'm not going to put them in the mix.
Jury's out on all of them.
So with that, 2015 through 2019. 2015, 16, 17, you can make the case those drafts were simply brutal outside of drafting Justin Simmons. I'm not going to put Will Parks in there because he has come and gone. Okay. Mm-hmm. Connor McGovern's been a good player, but they decided not to bring him back. And then, of course, you have Garrett Bowles. So they had two really good players out of that draft, and one of those players finally had a really good season, and he had a Pro Bowl-type season. Other than that, when you look at just those 3 years, that's probably roughly, 25, 26, 27 players. Is that right?
You had, in 2015, you had 9 players, 2016, 8, 2017, 8. So 25 players in total.
And you got two.
Yeah.
You got two. Two.
And you just kind of go round by round. First round picks were Shane Ray, Paxton Lynch, Garrett Bowles. 1 for 3 from those years. And then Paxton Lynch was a miss that caused other mistakes.
Hold on. Second round picks, DeMarcus Walker, Gotsis, Zambrillo. All misses.
0 for 3.
Carlos Henderson, Simmons was great, right? Or is great.
Brendan Langley in 2017 as well. He had 2 third-round picks that year.
Okay, well, then you're 1 for 4. I mean, that 2017 draft was a hot mess on so many different levels. The 2016 draft.
You went 2 for 10 on days 1 and 2 from 15 to 17.
Now.
Batted 200.
Now. Elway finally turned it around in 18. Mm-hmm. I got to give him credit because he made the pick. But if you have a top 5 pick in the draft and you are not taking a quarterback, chances are you're going to do pretty well. the odds are with you big time. And they got Bradley Chubb, and he's been terrific. You can criticize Elway for not taking Josh Allen if you want to, but Bradley Chubb's been very, very good when he's played. Cortland Sutton has been very good when he has played. Royce Freeman, nothing special. Man. Isaac Yiadom, bust. Yep. Josie Jewell, he's a starting linebacker. I hate to say it, nothing special.
Yeah, but you get a starter out of a solid starter out of round four. That's a good pick.
I got it, but they're looking to replace him. Right now, they're looking to replace him. If Micah Parsons didn't have so many personal problems, Josie Jewell would be a special teams guy.
Yeah, and Micah Parsons basically admitted to them when he did a press conference and talked about mistakes he'd made in the past. I mean, he didn't deny him. I mean, basically what's out there, he's tacitly admitted
to. Deshaun Hamilton, Broncos are getting calls about him. I don't even know if he's going to wind up making the team out of training camp. Fumagalli, Jones, Bierra, David Williams, not even worth talking about. 2019 Fant, he looks like a player. Reisner looks like a player. Who is the second guy taken in the second round with the Broncos pick? They had 2 second round picks. Drew Locke. Arguably, statistically, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. But we will see on him.
And remember,
I'm not ready to give up yet.
Yeah, you're not giving up, but at the same time, quarterbacks, when you get into day two, the success rate over the last 15 years is about 1 in 7.
And listen, I love me some Dalton Reisner, but he took a step back last year.
Yeah, I think he'll take a step forward this year, but you're right.
Last year,
Dalton will be the first to tell you that last year did not live up to what he expected it to be.
They have high hopes for Draymond Jones, but he hasn't gotten there yet.
Well, he's knocking on the door, though. He's already proven he's a very efficient pass rusher. And look, last year started half the games and had 6.5 sacks from the defensive end position in a 3-4 alignment.
Yeah, I like him.
That, you know what? That's a good pass rushing season from an interior D lineman. I think Draymond Jones is doing more than fine. Certainly, he's a lot better than these other day two defensive linemen that we've referenced in this. You know, he's better than DeMarcus Walker. He's better than Adam Gotsis.
Okay, with that, I'm going to let you set the mark, the over-under. What do you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 10 being the highest, give me a number where a guy is this number and he's a pretty good player. Is it a 7, 7.5?
7.
7. Noah Fant. Yes or no? 7?
He's a 7.
Easily.
Easily. Maybe 7 and he could go up this year.
Okay. Dalton Reisner?
In the end sum, taking his first 2 years, 7. But I'd say probably a 7.5 as a rookie and a 6.5 last year.
Fine, 7. Draymond Jones?
Probably about a 7. Six and a half, 7.
Chubb's at least a 7. Sutton's at least a 7. Bowles at least a 7.
Yes.
Right? That's it. That's 6 players. So out of 41 players taken, Elway nailed it on 6 of them. I don't even know if he'd be 24th. On the list of Greg Rosenthal's list.
Well, if you start going down the rates of draft hits and misses, I'd say that they'd be ahead of number 23 because right now, John Gruden and Mike Mayock are struggling with the draft. And with Mayock, of course, you know, the ultimate draft Nick, the number one, he was basically the top draft analyst.
Well, don't tell me about him.
Right.
Again, going back to 2009, his big board, 1-2, no Sean Marino and Robert Ayers.
Nobody's perfect at this thing.
No. That was 1-2 big board.
I know.
Big board. Best players in the draft. Best players, and neither were memorable.
Yeah.
Except for maybe no Sean. Had some good runs. He played well at times, and he's unfortunately best remembered for tearing up during the national anthem. That's what he's best remembered for, and having a license plate that said "Sauced" when he got pulled over.
There, you know what, though? You can go through every GM, every draft, Nick, every draft analyst, and they've got things where you say, well, I really blew it. Now, the other thing with Mike Mayock in Las Vegas is that ultimately he is at the whims of John Gruden, because John Gruden has the final say on things.
Let me ask you, at what percentage, because the draft is a crapshoot, at what percentage does a GM need to hit it with his players? 20% of the time, 15% of the time, 10% of the time?
Well, it's a sliding scale because basically you're talking about different rates for different rounds. I mean, your first look on first rounders in terms of finding guys who are at least plus level players, starters. Yep. You've got to, in the first round, you've got to beat about 80%.
Well, he's not there. Here's the bottom line. For Elway, from 2015 to 2019, he hit on 15%.
Okay.
Total. Because 41 players, he hit on six. That's 15%.
Now, let's talk about another guy who's near the bottom here, and that's Ryan Pace of Chicago.
Okay. I'd rather talk about Spielman,
right,
and George Payton.
Well, no, but I'm just saying if we're talking about Elway,
yeah.
I mean, you look at the first draft that Ryan Pace had in Chicago in 2015, and it was Kevin White, Eddie Goldman, Ronis Grasso, Jeremy Langford, Adrian Amos, and Teo Febeluje.
That list is more of a who's that than a who's who.
Exactly. Kevin White was a seventh overall pick as a receiver and is a bust. Now, but what I'm saying is Elway is probably not as bad as we're saying. He's not good. He didn't do well, but not as bad as people are saying.
You know what, though?
Yeah.
In the last 5 years, the Bears made the playoffs.
It's true.
Ah. With that, Rick Spielman, mm-hmm. GM of the Vikings, ranked sixth.
Yep.
And this is what Rosenthal wrote about him. Plucking five Pro Bowlers over the last six drafts is impressive, though Spielman's getting further removed from the 2015 bounty that landed Stephon Diggs and some other players. The Vikings GM, talking about Spielman, would rank even higher if not for a few first-round misfires. How encouraged are you with Payton knowing that he learned from, worked with, right-hand man of Spielman? How much does that translate?
You hope it translates a great deal, although...
I know you hope, but do you think it will?
I think it will ultimately, but that being said, Spielman is good, but not perfect. I don't expect perfection here. Let's just go through the last 5 years of first-round picks for the Minnesota Vikings. 2015, Trey Waynes, solid player. 2016, Laquon Treadwell, wide receiver. That hasn't come close to living up to his billing. No first rounder in 2017, although their first second round pick was Dalvin Cook. Pretty good.
Yeah, he's all right.
Mike Hughes at cornerback in 2018. It just been okay.
Mike Hughes?
There you go. See? 2019, Garrett Bradbury, first rounder out of North Carolina State at center. He's been solid, but with a center in the first round,
You better hit it.
You're expecting a guy who's a Pro Bowler.
Right.
And Bradbury has not been at that level. And then last year, I think they killed it with Justin Jefferson. I think Jeff Gladney's going to do better this year at corner.
Yeah, that was the year of the wide receiver. So it was this year. Last year was the year of the wide receiver, and they may, at least for one season, gotten the best one.
And they got wide receiver five, right?
Right. That's last what I'm year. Saying. Yeah. Right.
Or
right.
wide receiver three. Right. And he may be the best of the bunch.
Coming up after the break, ESPN's Todd McShay talked about the needs for each team, and he gave a bunch of needs for the Broncos, just like he gave a bunch of needs for all of the teams. Quarterback was number one for him. But I'm not so sure if I agree, and Mace, I don't think you necessarily agree with the rest of McShay's list in terms of needs by position.
And that's why I brought it to you in our back and forth today over email.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Diane's debutante backseat of Jackie's car. On chili dog outside taste freeze. Diane sitting on Jackie's lap, got his hands between his knees. Jackie say, hey Diane, let's run off behind the shady trees.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen to 98.1 FM. Also, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. And speaking of Rocky Mountain Forest Products, they're the only choice, seriously, for wholesale lumber to the public. They're a family-owned business. They've been around since 1974. And Rocky Mountain Forest Products has become, without question, the leading supplier in the state for some of the most recognizable structures in Colorado. And you've been to a lot of them, talking about Empower Field, Chorus Field, Ball Arena, Stanley Hotel. Their lumber is in those places, and they can be in your home at wholesale prices. This isn't, you know, just a deal for contractors. This is to the public. Wholesale lumber to the public. Where else are you going to get that? So your next deck, your next fence, siding for your home, why not buy it wholesale? Why not do it at Rocky Mountain Forest Products? You can find them in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Okay, so ESPN's Todd McShay went through every team and he pointed out what each team needs the most. He believes the Broncos need a quarterback the most. Then it is linebacker, center, guard, offensive tackle, running back, and edge rusher. This is what McShay writes. The biggest question for Denver decision makers, is it already time to throw in the towel on Drew Lock as the team's starting quarterback, or at least plan for an alternative? The answer will do a lot to dictate how the Broncos approach this upcoming draft. But whether or not they look at quarterback, perhaps on day two, the Broncos will certainly fixate on the offensive line and linebacker. Getting Juwan James back from an opt-out is a start, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Denver upgrade from Lloyd Cushenberry at center. So, do you agree? Quarterback, linebacker, center, guard, offensive tackle, cornerback, running back, and edge. Do you agree in that order?
I don't agree on the order. And I, first of all, most important thing, I agree on quarterback. I mean, that's obvious. And
so first round.
Yes.
You get a chance to get Fields or Trey Lance.
Yeah, whether
but not Mac Jones.
No, I don't see enough high-level talent there.
Well, they don't agree with you. You know why? Because they would have traded up by now.
Or maybe they don't have the terms the way they want. I think they would. I think they, or also they want to kind of know what other teams are going to do and what they're left with. As James Palmer told us, just because there are five quarterbacks does not mean a team wants any one of five guys. And I think it's reasonably likely that Mac Jones is the one who doesn't fit, but that the Broncos would be very happy to come out of this with Trey Lance or Justin Fields.
You could make the case that the San Francisco 49ers are going to make the decision for the Broncos on what they do with their first-round pick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because it's, or even future first-round pick, because if they make a certain decision and the Broncos are saying, okay, well, it's got to be a quarterback, then maybe they bite the bullet here in the next 13 days. If they do trade up, I think it happens before the draft.
So give me your order top five.
Okay. My number one, quarterback. And that is like, and that is in neon blinking, because at all these other spots, you're reasonably comfortable with what you've got for this year. But quarterback, you've been talking about, you're going to add to the room no matter what.
Like a Bud Light sign in a faulty socket?
Yeah, it's just, it's blinking. It's just blinking like mad. Yes. Bzzzt. So it's quarterback. Bzzzt. And then number two is inside linebacker.
Inside linebacker. Not linebacker, inside linebacker.
Number three is corner. Okay. Because you have a bunch of expiring contracts. Then you get to offensive tackle, Juwan James, probably.
Boy, you're missing a big one.
Edge rusher.
You're missing a big one. You're missing a big,
safety.
No. They got to get a running back. You cannot go into the season with Melvin Gordon, Royce Freeman, and the guy they picked up from Minnesota.
Mike Boone.
Yes. And listen, Mike Boone, apparently his legs are like tree trunks. That's great.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities. He had one really good game against the Bears, and that's fine. Listen, if George Payton loves himself some Mike Boone, then maybe they don't draft a running back.
You're not going to quaff any Boone's farm if that's what you're thinking? Wow, the crickets, the silence, it's deafening.
Remember, Melvin Gordon's not going to be here next year.
Yeah. But running back is a position where typically you can find somebody who can step in right away. And I would say,
I got it, but it's a priority. It's a priority.
I expect you'll see a running back before the end of round four.
I think so. Well, think about that. I mean, rounds one, two, three, and four, it's not that you necessarily hope to get all impact players, but in the fourth round, you're hoping for a serious contributor. Round five, it gets a little dicey.
And really, part of the reason you're sitting here with the Broncos right now.
By the way,
because they failed at drafting running backs in recent years in the middle rounds. Devontae Booker, meh. Royce Freeman, meh.
What did John Elway do outside of Cortland Sutton on offense that's been an impact?
Well, do you give him credit for Philip Lindsay? Because
no,
I don't give credit for that, because you passed on him in round seven to take Dave Williams.
Right. Now, Garrett Bowles finally turned out to be a player, but it took a while. Right. And then what do you have?
Yeah.
You have two guys in all of those drafts. Since 2011, you have picked up Garrett Bowles and Cortland Sutton. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you use Josh McDaniels to get you Demaryius Thomas. Yes, you traded, and I get it, for Emmanuel Sanders. You did pick up Noah Fant.
He's a free agent with Sanders.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you trade him, but they trade him.
I mean, as a free agent.
Yeah.
You couldn't hit on a tight end to save your life. Everybody kept getting injured. We'll see what happens with Noah Fant. He looks to be a player.
Although, but on offense, Julius Thomas was a hit in the fourth round.
You know, he was. No, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that for the couple of years that he played here. And then, you know, he got lucky to play with Peyton Manning. Then he turned out to be the player that made him look like why you would draft him in the fourth round.
The intriguing thing about running back is with John Elway's running backs, the drafted guys have just been okay. Not bust, but not great. It's been Ronnie Hillman. It's been Royce Freeman. It's been Devontae Booker. His best guys have been undrafted guys, which is less on the GM and more on the area scout, in particular, getting C.J. Anderson as an undrafted guy.
Here's the thing about your list that I will disagree with. I'm talking about what they need for this year. They don't need an offensive tackle this year. They don't need a guard this year.
Yeah, that's why I don't agree with interior O-line at all, because
okay.
You have, because it, now McShay kind of says, oh, Cushenberry is a guy they could push out. I don't see that happening. They liked the way Cushenberry played in the second half of the season. He was a much better player down the stretch. The other thing is you've got Dalton Reisner, from whom they expect better. Graham Glasgow, a lot is invested in him, and they love Netani Muti, who they drafted on day three last year, to push those guys on the interior.
Now, you mentioned cornerback. Yes, you have a couple of guys who are coming up on free agency next year. Fuller. And then Callahan.
It's kind of hand-in-hand with safety, though, because Kareem Jackson, same thing.
But also that's facing free agency next year. I'm talking about this year. I think you need to upgrade at running back, for sure.
But you can find that guy. Like, you get into like the fourth round.
I'm with you.
And you're still going to be probably in the conversation for Chuba Hubbard out of Oklahoma State, Khalil Herbert out of Virginia Tech. And those are two guys who make a lot of sense.
But it's a need. It is a need. Quarterback, if you want to say it, you can call it a need. Okay? Most people would not disagree with you.
Well,
inside linebacker, yes, they need to find someone who can cover Kelsey and other fast tight ends. They don't have that. But the truth is, there are only two or three guys in the draft that have that ability. And two of them are going in the first round.
Yeah, the guy to keep your eye on in terms of a coverage backer.
Second round
that you
pick.
Could get in the second round. There's two of them, Jameen Davis from Kentucky, but also keep your eye on Jabril Cox out of LSU. That's the thing he does best is cover.
Right. So as far as needs for this year, yes, is Juwan James going to be back next year? Unless he's unbelievable, problem is you can't count on him.
It doesn't make it a need, though. It's down the list.
Right.
But running back's a need. A secondary need is offensive tackle to develop to be ready for 2022.
Right. To me, a need is, A, you don't have somebody, because I'm not a big Royce Freeman guy. You need someone. If you're going to have a 1-2 punch, I'm sorry. It's not Melvin Gordon and Royce Freeman. If anything, it's Melvin Gordon and Boone.
Well, what is
and he's going to be a special teams guy.
Well, what is interesting is you need a number two to kind of be able to be a number one if something happens in Melbourne.
Well, now it's a need then.
Pat Shurmur likes the bell cow back. His preferred situation in Minnesota was Dalvin Cook being the bell cow guy before he got hurt.
Right.
He gets to the Giants and they get Saquon Barkley right away. Pat Shurmur would prefer to ride one guy at running back who can do everything. And so, as long as Melvin Gordon stays healthy, he's in good shape there. But if something happens to Melvin Gordon, you need to have somebody ready to step up.
Let me trim your list. Quarterback, need for this year.
Yeah.
Inside linebacker, need for this year. Yes or no?
Quarterback, yes. Inside linebacker, no.
Okay. Center, need for this year.
No.
Guard, need for this year.
No.
Offensive tackle, need for this year.
As long as Juwan James is healthy, no.
Good. Cornerback, need for this year.
No.
Edge rusher, need for this year.
No.
Well, that's pretty much McShay's whole list, but I left out one position. Running back, need for this year.
Number two running back, yes.
There we go. Quarterback, running back. You just put my list in order for me.
And,
thank you.
And the other thing is...
And that's my point. You went with your list, and now I just convinced you to go with my list.
And if you're sitting there with a top 10 pick in a quarterback-rich draft, and it's your top need, and you don't fill it,
right,
you've done something wrong.
Coming up after the break, Barry Bonds was a hitting instructor, I don't know if you know that, with the Florida Marlins. And let's just say he was awful. And the former Marlins president put Bonds on blast today. What did he say? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Whoa, are we going Rocky 3? Pain. Pain.
It does get you fired up, though.
To me, that's the best of all the Rocky movies. It is, because it's so up and down. He gets his butt kicked by Mr. T, and then he's down in the dumps. But you can't win! Well, that's Rocky IV.
What's also the thing that I think makes Rocky III really stand out is the genuine...
Pain.
No, it's the genuine friendship that we see between Apollo and Rocky, having slugged it out twice in the ring, but the respect that Apollo has for the guy that took the belt from him,
right,
and that he's the one who's going to help to basically say, hey, everything I learned, everything I am, I'm giving it to you. I've passed on the belt to you. Now he's basically passing on everything, even Duke, his trainer,
right,
being passed on to Rocky. Right. There's just, I don't know. I love that angle of it, because it's not something that you saw coming from the first two Rocky movies, that Apollo and Rocky were going to be so close.
You know what I like?
I love that.
But you know what else I love? Pain. Yeah,
Clubber Lang, Mr. T.
Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpiecerOofing.com today.
Former Marlins president David Sampson was on a national radio show talking about Barry Bonds' tenure, 1 year, by the way, as the Marlins hitting coach. And according to Sampson, it was an unmitigated disaster. This is what he had to say. There were issues from the time Bonds began negotiating a contract, as he refused to take a salary that was any lower than $1.5 million, which is well above what most hitting coaches make. He had fun as a hitting coach. He had fun as a hitting coach because he would hang out with Giancarlo Stanton and give Stanton some pointers. But he was ineffective completely. He would sleep in the clubhouse. He would not pay attention during games. He did not work hard. It was a complete disaster. Now, for those that don't know, Barry Bonds is considered an absolute jerk in most baseball circles when he played, and clearly that translated to him being a hitting instructor. With that, why do so many great players have problems as coaches? And just for fun, I'll give you a small sample size. Wayne Gretzky, Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson, Bob Cousy, Bart Starr, Brian Trottier, Ted Williams. Yes, Larry Bird was terrific.
He's the exception of the rule.
Very much so. Why do you think great athletes struggle so much as coaches? Because I have a pretty good idea why.
I think part of the reason why is because they had a certain standard for themselves that they expect others to have. And it's hard to grasp when you've gone about things a certain way that you can't get the guys in your command to do the same thing. Like Magic Johnson, for example, he lasted, I believe, 16 games as Lakers coach. He'd only been retired for 3 years. I mean, so there wasn't a generational disconnect. But the big thing that frustrated him was that he could not get them to kind of work at the same level that he worked as a player.
I agree. And I think that's half right, for sure. Absolutely half right. The greats work hard.
They're not the greats aren't very well adjusted. I mean that in kind of a good way, because you have to be maniacal to succeed at that level.
That's 50% of the reason. The greats work hard, but the greats have something that the players they coach don't have: their talent. And when a guy doesn't have the talent that you had because it came so easy to you, you become frustrated. How would you like to have Ted Williams as your hitting coach? He worked hard, but he had the talent, and he made it look so effortless. So when you have...
And he managed for a while, the Ted Williams.
He did. He managed the Senators, the Washington Senators.
And then they moved to Texas.
And he wasn't good.
He was the first manager of Texas Rangers, and he didn't win.
When something is so obvious to you, and it's not obvious to somebody else, eventually you probably tend to get frustrated.
Yeah.
And when you have the type of ego that an Isaiah Thomas, Wayne Gretzky, Brian Trottier, Ted Williams, Magic Johnson have, you can get somebody potentially, you can potentially motivate someone to work as hard as you, but if they don't have the talent, they can only go so far. And I'm guessing it's very frustrating for these guys. For a Michael Jordan, I couldn't even imagine a Michael Jordan as a head coach.
No.
He'd be awful.
What's interesting is, of course, Jordan's the owner, but there have been more success stories of these guys becoming executives, general managers. And maybe that's because you're operating on a different level. You're not operating on the ground floor of kind of trying to motivate guys and get them to see everything.
Well, you can spot talent.
Yes.
But doesn't mean you can coach it. You can't. You don't want to get down in the trenches. Yeah. And do it.
There are more. I mean, John Elway, was the last few years great? No, but John Elway, in the end, some is regarded as an above average executive.
Let me ask you something.
Steve Yzerman, Ozzie Newsome, Hall of Fame player. These people made the transition, and there are more great players turned executives than great players turned coaches.
On a scale of 1 to 10, rate Elway as a GM overall, draft, free agency, everything.
7.5.
If he doesn't get Peyton Manning, and he did.
That's part of it.
But if he doesn't get Peyton Manning, speculate. Where do you think he is?
Probably about 5.5 to 6.
If that.
And the heart, even the way things went down with Elway stepping aside, but Joe Ellis kind of clearly wanting a change in things with the Broncos. The hard part of hiring a legend that played for you,
hard to fire him,
is exactly that. There comes a time where you might have to fire
that
legend. Like Bart Starr, for example, you mentioned him. Because he wasn't just the head coach. He was also the VP of football ops. Bart Starr in Green Bay controlled everything football-wise. And even though the Packers were profoundly mediocre during those 9 seasons, Bart Starr kept his job. He only went to the playoffs once.
Right.
And part of the reason why was because there was a reluctance by the Packer board of directors to make a move because, well, we can't fire Bart Starr, but then ultimately it reached a point where all the near misses, all the week 16 letdowns hit a moment where they finally realized, okay, we got to fire Bart Starr. Of course, the funny thing was the Packers turned around and replaced him with one of Starr's teammates in Forrest Gregg.
What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Well, speaking of former players joining the front office, we have a couple of guys who recently retired who are now joining the ownership ranks. We'll tell you who that is next, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Safety dance. Wow.
Men without hats.
Wow.
We are not men without hats. We're both wearing
hats. We're always wearing hats. Welcome back, Afternoon Drive.
Can you dance if you want to?
I can. And I might dance tonight. And I'm going to put it on my TikTok account.
Do your friends dance? Because if they don't dance, are they no friends of yours?
No, they're probably not friends. I'll put it on Snapchat because it'll disappear immediately. At least that's what my 12-year-old daughter tells me. Same with TikTok. Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. You can watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Wholesale lumber to the public. Yeah, they got it. RMFP.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it in that last segment, you guys were talking about how players sometimes have trouble with the coaching aspect of business in sports, but maybe in the front office side of things, they do a little better. Well, two former players are joining the ownership ranks. First off, Dwayne Wade has bought a stake in the Utah Jazz, and then Marshawn Lynch has joined the ownership group of USL Oakland Roots. That is the soccer league directly behind the MLS, so if they play well enough, they just might make it to the MLS. My question for you guys is, would you rather have a small piece of a major franchise or a very large piece, maybe the controlling piece, in a franchise from a lesser league?
I'd rather have a small piece with a big team.
Yeah, which one makes more money? Now, the interesting thing with the USL side, the Oakland Roots, it's not like soccer overseas where if you play well, you move up. You've still got to buy your way into MLS with a franchise fee. Basically, you can kind of set the infrastructure on a lower level, but then you still have to pay, hundreds of million dollars to move up. It's not like in England where you could be a part of a second-tier team, do things well, develop players, work your way up, and then, boom, you're in the Premier League in a few years. I think it's because of that, I think I'd rather be the smaller part of a big organization. But Marshawn Lynch, being a part of an Oakland team is very important to him. He wears his Oakland roots, appropriately enough, because the team is called Oakland Roots, on his sleeve.
If I have a large stake in a small team, I am sweating that team making money and making it in general, and our fans going to show up. If I have a small piece in a major team, well, I'm probably going to have tickets to go see an NFL game, Major League Baseball game, all of that stuff. And I know just through the value of the team, my investment is going to go up.
Yeah, let's face it.
Generally speaking, I think I'm taking less financial risk by having a smaller piece in a bigger team. And I'm going to go see great sports all the time.
And you're also enjoying that dividend check that's probably coming in. When I worked for Carolina, I remember being in an all-staff meeting and the then-owner, Jerry Richardson, kind of explaining things budget-wise. And one of the things he pointed out was that because they had about 25 investors in the Carolina Panthers on an annual basis, those people had to get their dividend check. So I think I'd love to have a small part of a big organization, enjoy the checks. And oh, by the way, if you're
go to the games,
not only that, you get a ring if they win.
Yeah,
they win it all.
Yeah,
there was a guy you ever
well,
hear.
Well, did you really want a ring from a low level soccer team?
There was a guy named Franklin Muley who owned the Warriors.
I don't wear jewelry,
but he owned a small share of the 49ers, and so this guy who owned about 1% of the team, he'd fly on the team plane. He'd get the ring. He'd get the big rings, and he cashed his dividend checks, and he was happy as a clam.
Danny, what else you got?
Speaking of Michael Jordan, in the last segment, as someone who successfully made that transition to ownership, he will be presenting or introducing Kobe Bryant for the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame when Kobe is inducted later this year. If you guys were getting a high honor such as that, I'm sure both of you will at some point be in the running for some Hall of Fame. Who would you want to introduce you?
Wow. Really? Mace, go ahead.
Well, I know it's kind of obvious, but as my daughter gets older, I'd probably have her do the honors. A lot of athletes going to Hall of Fames choose their children.
I would choose one of my children, or I would choose Mandy.
Yeah,
because she has been the wind in my sails.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of family. It's got to be my wife or my daughter, or my parents or my brother.
Why don't you have all of them do it while you're at it?
Well, you could put
my third cousin from Yakima.
I think you kind of keep it as just the immediate family. Yeah. That's sort of the line that you draw. It makes sense.
All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, Masterpiece Roofing recently voted Denver's best roofing company. You know what? Customers absolutely love them. Over 85-star Google reviews. Call for a free roof inspection today to see how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. That sounds like a good deal, right? Whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding, let Masterpiece turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Nolan, great job pushing all the right buttons on MileHighSports.com. Danny, great job all week as always. Mace, I can't believe another week has flown by.
Less than 2 weeks until the NFL draft. So
it is.
You know what? We're gonna have some resolution on this quarterback situation here in the next fortnight.
Make it the best possible weekend you can.